Lord willing. And we're going to start the study right now. So we're going to blow the trumpet on Pentecost. And I thank God that you're all here. And may the Holy Spirit come down upon you today in Yeshua's name. Shabbat Shalom. And for everyone's sake, that is our silver trumpets, like it talks about in Numbers chapter 10. So if you don't know about that, look up Numbers chapter 10. And we are summoning the congregation. Do you see them marching? Here they are. Anyway, praise the Lord. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach. And I feel the joy of the Lord today, which is our strength. Amen. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. We know there's other brothers and sisters all around the world that we're trying to seek out and find one of these days. We'll find some of them. Today is, of course, you guys all know, it is Chag Shavuot, Chag HaKatzir, Pentecost. And we're here on God's holy convocation, which is a Mikra Kodesh. It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly. And here we are, again, assembled in one accord on May 24, 2015. Anyway, having said all that, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, we just thank and praise you, Lord and God, for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. We thank you for the joy you give us and the happiness and the strength and fear and faith you give us, Lord and God. I pray you'll increase all these attributes of God in us. We need more wisdom, more discernment, more understanding, more revelation of your word. Bless and anoint this day, this Pentecost. We do this in memorial, knowing that the Holy Spirit already is given and it's free to whosoever will seek the Holy Spirit, that your baptism baptize us all today in your Holy Spirit, Lord and God. Bless and anoint this day. I pray you'll bless everyone on the internet, everyone that will hear these messages in the future. I pray that it'll be a blessing to them. And may God open our hearts, minds, and souls today and teach us something new, something we didn't know. Correct us, take away anything that's wrong, and fill us only with the truth. That's all we want, Father, is the truth. Bless and anoint this reading today, the study, and may God bless you with his Holy Spirit. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Well, everybody knows today's May 24, 2015, and we all know why we're here. And I still can't figure out why the Pentecostals are not doing Pentecost. And because they don't keep any of the Sabbaths or the appointed times, the Moedim, you know. It's offering time. God says, none shall appear before me empty. That's found in Exodus 23:14. We all give God an offering today or as it comes. Some of us have it coming in the mail. Bill pay nowadays. They didn't have that back in the time of Moses. Bill pay. Is it hot in here? A little bit. A little warm in here. Okay. So anyway, there's the Feast of Harvest right there. It only says Feast of Harvest a few times, I think, in the Bible. I think it only says Feast of Ingathering maybe once or twice. I think once, maybe. That's Feast of Tabernacles, of course. We are in the fifth day of Sivan today. And there's that word Sivan. Samech, Yud, Vav, and final Nun. Nun Sofit. And it's Siv, when you parse it down, means bright, splendid. And we're having a little bright, splendid day, thank God. And there's where it says Sivan in Esther chapter 8, verse 9. We bring it to focus God's calendar here, which most people never heard of. God has his own calendar, his own feasts, his own Sabbath, his own dietary laws, his food laws, and many other things. We try to bring them into focus. So we just spiritually went from slaves again in Egypt to the people of God on Mount Sinai today. We're at Mount Sinai today. And this is we passed up our seven-week journey. Today is the 50th day, which later I have another study later, which we could talk about 50 and 50th day, which it's not in this study. So maybe later we'll even be on Pow Talk and have some thoughts with you people. So praise Yah. I know we all did good. We all tarried. We're all here. So today's topic is the giving of the law and the spirit. So let's read about the giving of the Torah, Torah in Hebrew, Torah, and that's Exodus, which I don't know who named it Exodus, but they say Shemot in Hebrew, but I don't know who named it that either. But we'll just go along with that for today, Exodus 20. If you have your Bibles, or if you just want to read here. It says, Elohim, God, spoke all these words, saying, I am Yehovah, thy God, Elohecha, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And a lot of us, you know, you have to understand, we were in bondage, our last lives of sin, whenever, how many years ago it was. And we were in bondage to this Pharaoh known as the devil. And now we, thank God, he's loosened us from the chains, from the evil one, and we're free. You're not supposed to have any other gods before me. That's right. First commandment, thou shalt not make thee unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yehovah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, only the ones that hate me. And I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my mitzvot, my commandments, right? Commandment 2, thou shalt not take the name of Yehovah, thy God, in vain. For Jehovah will not hold you guiltless that takes his name in vain. That's commandment 3, excuse me. Right? Now, there's many depths to these commandments. I'm not going to go into all the different depths, but, you know, taking God's name in vain, there's a lot of ways you can do that. But here we are. It says, Zechor Hayom Shabbat. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we all remember it, of course, every seventh day. Today is actually a different day. It's a holy convocation, right? That's why we're here today. It's a Sabbath also. We have 6 days to do all your labor and to do all your work. And that's plenty for me, especially when you're out on a farm. The seventh day I love. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah, my God. In it, I'm not going to do any work. Who's not supposed to do it? You, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, any kind of people that take care of your lawns today. Your cattle, everything's supposed to rest today. Even if you have some strangers hanging around, they're supposed to stop. Anyone that's within your gates, so wherever you reside, that's part of keeping the Sabbath. Everyone has to keep the Sabbath. You can't have kids watching video games or the husband or the wife watching sports today. Or everyone has to be keeping the Sabbath or leave for that day. That's my advice if you want to keep the Sabbath. For in 6 days, which we're going to talk about later, 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And, you know, we did a study of all calendars in the past, and we went through the Hillelian calendar and the Julian calendar and the Caesarian calendar, and there's a lot of other calendars. We're in the Gregorian calendar now. But the amount of days in the year might have varied, but the days of the week never changed. So the Sabbath is still the seventh day, as it was in the time of Yeshua. So we know for sure this is the seventh, you know, yesterday was the seventh day, right? Yeah. Wherefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. Don't you love that? Something really special about that. He also said it's a sign between him and his people. He's given us the Sabbath. He's made us aware of it. As you notice, most people are not even aware of anything. Okay, commandment 5. First, honor your father and mother. That's if they're in the God of Israel. I mean, if they're drug addicts and doing the wrong thing and trying to drag you away from God, you know what you're supposed to do, right? It says that, and this is the only, first commandment with promise, that you may, that the days may be long upon the earth which Jehovah thy God gives you. So this is the first commandment with promise. So my parents are gone, but my mother kept the Sabbath. My father was gone before that. And I hope I get to live a little longer, because I have a lot to say. That's a real New Yorker, huh? I've got a lot to say. Okay, here's another commandment. Thou shalt not kill, which is murder. That really is murder. And there's a lot of ways you could murder someone, spiritually, physically, You could murder someone many different ways. I'm not going to get into the depths of that. It sounds real simple, but there's many ways you can murder somebody. And there's thou shalt not commit adultery. That's also spiritually and physically also. And there's many depths to that. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. And you might think there's only one way to do that, but you could steal a lot of different ways, spiritually, physically, and you could steal someone's mind, steal thoughts. You could steal someone's virginity. You could steal someone's a lot of different things. There's many depths. Every one of these commandments have different ways of looking at it. But we just want to read the Torah. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Why is that? What is a false witness? Liar, yeah. How many liars are going to heaven?
None.
Where does it say that? Revelation, right? It says all liars, even the pink ones. Or the white ones, I should say, because Satan puts white on everything nowadays, like white witch, white lie. I actually heard a psychologist or a psychiatrist one day on TV. You guys know. They were going through this conversation on TV. I was watching it, and she was expounding how it's very bad to stop your children from lying. It stunts their creativity. And I thought, what a devil out of hell, teaching your children to lie right from youth. But anyway, not supposed to covet your neighbor's house and your neighbor, or anything of your neighbor's, his wife, her husband, or the maidservant, men servant, ox ass, anything that's your neighbor's.
TV.
What?
TV.
TV.
Yeah.
We don't covet anything. Now, that doesn't mean you can't like something. That's not coveting something. I'm talking about sitting there and drooling over it. You know what I mean? And there's many different levels of coveting, too. And that's the 10th commandment. And guess what? At that time, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. These people actually heard the voice of God, which we can even imagine today. And they said unto Moses, speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. That must have been such a frightening thing. If you could just try to picture that, you're at Mount Sinai, right? And there's over a million people there, and children, and animals, and people, and all kinds of stuff. And God is speaking to you. Whoa. You can't hide in the back either. God sees everyone. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you that your fear may be before your faces, that his fear may be before your faces. What? That you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick cloud where God was. And Jehovah said unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked at you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make you gods of gold. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen, in all the places where I record my name. I will come unto you, and I will bless you. Praise the Lord. And if you will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for it, if thou lift up a tool upon it, you polluted it. Neither shalt you go up by steps unto mine altar, that your nakedness be not discovered thereon. And of course, now it's summertime and spring, and nakedness abounds with people, you know, men running around with no shirts on and women very loosely dressed. And this is to show you how God hates nakedness. It's not good to look at. There it is right there. And now we're going to read about the giving of the Spirit. Okay? First, the Spirit of God was given to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 because it's Feast of Weeks. And they were all in Jerusalem in one of their religious pilgrimage treks getting to Jerusalem, right? And it's agricultural also because it's the wheat harvest, right? Everyone knows that. And I guess we didn't make our two loaves of wheat again, which are the first fruits. Keep forgetting. We got any wheat back there? Anyway, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, was fully come, where were they? They were with all with one accord in one place. And one day I hope we can all be together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise the Lord. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And they spoke with other tongues. How? As the Spirit gave utterance. There is no such thing as a prayer language that the church has made up. That's nothing. That's made up. And you can't just speak in tongues at will. It's only when the Spirit gives utterance. Okay? Feast of Weeks. And here's how you can prove it. There was dwelling at Jerusalem. Who was there? Jews. Devout men out of every nation under heaven. Really? When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language. Now these people are from all, these Jews are from all different nations, and they all spoke a different tongue, but yet they heard them in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, aren't these guys all Galileans? How do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And let me tell you where we're from. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia. Some of us are from Judea and Cappadocia. Some of us from Pontus and Asia. Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya around Cyrene. Some of us came from Rome. Jews, and we're Jews, proselytes. Some people are newly come to the faith. Cretes and Arabians. We hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And I really wish they would have wrote down what they heard. That's missing. No one wrote down what they heard. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? And of course, we always have the mockers, the New York accent, the mockers. These men are full of new wine. They're drunk. But of course, we have Cephas. Peter stands up with the 11, and he's got the baptism. He's totally never going to deny the Lord again. He's got that intestinal fortitude like Jeremiah and Zechariah. He stands up with the 11 and lifts up his voice and says unto them, men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the mornings around that, approximately. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Daughters prophesying? That's women. So who said women can't speak? And your old men shall dream dreams. I guess that's a category I fit in. And your young men shall see visions. Zach, let me know if you have any visions. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, handmaidens are what? Females, yes. In those days I'm going to pour out my spirit. This is a prophecy that took place in the time of Peter in Acts 2. And I will show wonders in heaven, in the heavens, and in earth be in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Jehovah come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, God doesn't care if you're Irish, Spanish, Italian, Jewish, or ticklish. Haven't said that in a while. He don't care what ish you are. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yehovah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, shall be deliverance, as Jehovah had said, and in the remnant whom Jehovah shall call. So these are all the Jews. Now back to Acts, it says the same thing. Acts verse 17. I just wanted to read you what it said in Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they're going to prophesy. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath. This is at the time of Peter. He's quoting Joel. Blood, fire, vapors of smoke. The sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of Jehovah come, or the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and, of course, the foreknowledge of God, otherwise nothing would have happened, you have taken, and you have, by your wicked hands, you have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, hallelujah, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be holden of it. In the book of Psalms, David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. If he's at my right hand, I should not be moved. Here's Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh, this is the prophecy of the resurrection, my flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. So Yeshua actually went right down to hell, this holding place. He actually preached to the spirits in prison. He let them know why they're really there, the people that were before the flood, the people that ended up in the flood, and the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and all these other people. Remember, hell is just a holding place, because death and hell are going to be cast into a lake of fire somewhere in the future, whatever that means. So this is a prophecy of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he became sin for us who knew no sin, and he went right down there and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Praise the Lord. And he ascended up to the right hand of the Father. Back to Acts. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither did I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Amen. So Peter is quoting Psalms excellently, as you notice, as they always do. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So Peter says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day, right? And of course, Judaism don't believe this, but I do. Therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath, which is in Psalms, to him that of the fruit of his loins, I think it's Psalm 132, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Messiah to sit on his throne. So Messiah is a direct descendant of David. Amen. And David is a direct descendant of Ruth, the Moabitess. How about that? She's no longer a Moabitess. How about that? Think that one over. Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, like I was just telling you, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Yeshua had God raised up, and these people can say they were all witnesses of it. They all seen him raised from the dead. Wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Father of the Holy Ghost, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which you now see and hear. That's what you're seeing and hearing, everyone. I mean, David at that time didn't ascend into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, Jehovah said to my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Yeshua whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Ah, Could you imagine hearing that? I mean, at that time, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter's right there. Peter says unto them, "Repent, shavu, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. For this promise is not just for us, but it's unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And I say that today too. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. Too bad at the time of the Torah, almost 3,000 people were killed, you know? But here, 3,000 were saved. And of course, you know, after all this, you would do this too. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread, which we do every Sabbath, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they all had things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Could you imagine having a community like that? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia, the set-apart ones, daily such as should be saved. Amen. What do you think of that? I'm not finished yet, because that was the baptism upon the Jews. Now let's find out about the baptism upon the Gentiles, the nations, the goyim, the nations. Acts 10. Let's go to Acts 10. Okay. You know, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. And I don't know if it was a musical band. I don't think so. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house. Could you imagine that? He feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. The Bible says pray always. Now he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour. Let's see, that's 3, 6, about 3 o'clock, right? Depends what time of the year. He saw about the ninth hour of the day, it was the daytime hours, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid, I bet, and said, "What is it, Lord?" He probably thought it was him. And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God." Wow. "And now send men to Joppa," which is around Tel Aviv, on the sea coast there, "and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. He's lodging there with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." There it is. "He shall tell you what you ought to do." And when the angel spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. What time?
Around noon.
And he became hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Fell into a vision. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it looked like a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth. And there was all kind of manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed," look at the spiritual matter of what I'm telling you, Peter, "what God has cleansed, don't call common." This was done three times, and the vessel was received again into heaven. So this is not about eating pork. Now when Peter doubted himself what the vision might, which he had seen would mean, behold, men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Try to picture that. They're out the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was lodging there. When Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek for you." Praise the Lord. The Spirit said that. "Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Praise the Lord. And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he who you seek. What is the cause that you have come unto me?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and has a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you to come unto you into this house and to hear what your words of some words that you're supposed to tell me." Then called he them in and lodged there, and on the morrow Peter sent away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. What did Peter say? Peter took him up and saying, "Stand up! I'm just a man." That's right, praise God only. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that it's unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But I just had a vision in this trance. God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Right. Praise the Lord. This is not food, it's man. God had shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago I was fasting." He's fasting for 4 days. "Unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and your alms are had in the remembrance in the sight of God.'" Whew. Wow. "Therefore go to Joppa and call for hither for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he comes, he's going to speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent for you, that thou would... And thou hast well done that you're come." You better show up. "Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God." And then Peter opened his mouth and said, praise the Lord. He said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. But in every nation, anyone that fears God and works righteousness, works righteousness, keeps the commandments, is accepted of him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord of all. This word, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee and after the baptism which John preached. God anointed Yeshua. How God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Praise the Lord. I don't know what's all this here. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Yeshua, him had God raised up the third day and showed him openly, but not to all the people, but only to the witnesses that he chose, that were chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge and quick of the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins, which is the most important thing you could ever have. Now, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word. And the Jews, they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. How did they know that? They heard them speak with tongues, and they magnified God. Then Peter answered and said, which one of you Jews can forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, they prayed them to tarry certain days. So praise the Lord. There's the Gentiles receiving the baptism. And many other places, Paul finds some disciples that they never had the baptism in Acts, and he lays his hands on them, and they also spoke with tongues. That's the evidence of getting the baptism. You speak in tongues, and it's not your tongue. It's whatever God, the Spirit, utters through you. And they prayed they to tarry certain days. So this is the Feast of Weeks, the pilgrimage feast that's written in Leviticus, right? We are here on the 50th day. And it's also the feast of the wheat harvest. It's the harvest of the wheat, which I hope we have some wheat back there. And it's Pentecost, because that's the word for 50 in Greek. And it's a short study today, but I think it's everything that you need to hear. And there's many other things we'll talk about later. So thank you for being here today. I wanted to show you that the Jews and the Gentiles were all one in Messiah. And that's why we're called Kahal HaBemashiach. We are one in Messiah. We are one. Amen. We're not like some of those messianics that esteem the Jewish believers above the Gentile believers in some of those messianic groups, which is respect of persons. But I perceive God as no respect of persons. Anyone who works righteousness and fears God and keeps his commandments is accepted of God. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed my quick study. I hope you got something out of it. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll give everyone the baptism of the Holy Spirit that doesn't have it, and may you rain down your Holy Spirit upon them today, Lord and God. And I thank you for the blood of Yeshua, for the forgiveness of sins, and I thank you for another Sabbath that we could congregate together in one accord, one spirit, one body, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. And I thank God that we're here today, alive in 2015, and may we preach your word to whosoever will be willing to listen. Bless the rest of this day, the food, the singing, anything we do, the studies, conversations. Let everything be to the glory of the living God, and one day we know we'll see you, and I just thank God for that day, knowing it's who knows when it is. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and thank God for that we're here. Praise the Lord, and I'll stop the... Anyone would like to come up and say anything, you're more than welcome, and I'll open the room right now. God bless you today. As you're fighting for the mic, to get up to the mic first, who's coming up first? As they're racing to the mic. Come on up. Okay, Yisrael is trying to come up.
I wanted to thank you for the message. You know, I remember when I was in the churches, you know, we all did this fake tongue language. And I so much want to make sure it's of God. And that's definitely something I want to seek today. And this message just shows you that it's not the tongue of the churches, which I so appreciate. Because I used to do that at will for anything, even in my sleep practically, because I wanted to make sure I'd go to heaven, and that's just such fallacy, it's such so pagan. And I appreciate your message and you doing this so diligently every week. And I also notice it looks like, you know, more and more people, you know, are following, you know, the first visible crest, because, you know, we're all in one accord, you know, doing the things together in the room and, you know, following the high holy days together. And I think that's so wonderful, because it's how it was in David's time, you know, in the first visible crest. And that's so important. Praise the Lord.
Well, thank you very much there, Sister Yisraela, and God bless you out there. And I think this is Connie. Yes. Shabbat Shalom.
Wonderful time to remember the giving of the Torah and the giving of the Ruach. I was listening to your sharing in the commandments, and I had a thought about the commandments talking about honoring our father and mother. So often what our children do is a reflection on us and what kind of parents we are. And the most wonderful way that we can honor our parents is by keeping the commandments and following Yeshua. Because when we go about doing his will and other people see that we're good guys, they're saying, oh, that person must have had wonderful parents. So that commandment is interesting. It's not, it's when it says to honor your father and mother, it's not if they're good guys, bad guys, if you like them, if you don't, if they keep every commandment, we aren't given a condition. But the way we honor them is by honoring the Most High and keeping his commandments. That's all I had to share.
That is 100% correct, sister. And I thank you for being a new sister that I didn't even know was around, but God was very aware of you. Amen. Very good. Would anyone else like to come up? And please, anyone who does not have us on your PAL list, put us on your PAL list. And, we'll take a little break now. I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat Shalom. The video just started. I just recorded everyone saying what they said. And I'm going to stop the audio if I could figure out where it is. There it is.